This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and soon to be up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Tiger Woods is 9 over now in the tournament.
That's not good.
No, that's a problem. You know, I said yesterday, I thought he threw his tournament away on 17 and 18, and I should have known better that he still has to play around on Friday.
And then he tracks it right into his first hole today. He did get up and down his first hole, but you could tell it was just the tone. It set the tone. He went long, and he had to scramble to get up and down. And I don't know. He doesn't have it right now, and you wonder where it goes.
Especially at U.S. Open, you know, like it's kind of, it's almost not sad. I mean, that's a bit extreme, but it kind of feels end of an era type vibe with Tiger and Phil, like both of them, right?
Tiger especially, how does he expect to perform there? He's not the guy that's 24 years old and shows up at 8 tournaments or 10 tournaments a year and wins every single one of them. He's not that guy anymore. He's 45 years old.
No, but
I just don't know what else he would be expecting at that golf course at that tournament.
Well, let me ask you guys this, though. Do you think he probably has to grind through more tournaments to be at peak, like at the top of his game, correct? Like he has to play more tournaments, correct?
Yes. Go ahead.
At his age, like he doesn't want to do that. And he's earned the right not to do that.
Don't stand up in front of the camera on Thursday and say, you know what, if I do this and I do that, because ultimately that's just a pipe dream and there's no chance of that actually happening.
I'm just saying, I'm here
for a good time and I'm Tiger Woods and I got an awesome resume and that's the reason I'm here. Don't say you're going to realistically compete on Sunday, because on that track, with lack of playing, you're not doing it.
But the magic can I believe the magic can reappear. Like, this guy hasn't forgotten how to play golf. It's just you need repetitions reps. You need reps. You need to go through it. Like, to me, I would love to see him show up. It wasn't that long ago that he won, correct?
Yeah,
the Green Jacket.
But that's a very important point to make is the U.S. Open is way too tough for a guy who is nowhere close to his prime and doesn't play enough. Augusta is a different story. He can show up at Augusta. He plays a couple times before that. He shows up at, you know, Torrey Pines and maybe
he knows every blade of grass at Augusta.
Everything. And as long as he's in good health, he can perform at Augusta. And it doesn't mean he's going to win, but he'll finish, you know, 3 or 4 under. He'll make the cut. He just knows it. He can play it. It's set up beautifully to his game. He's Tiger Woods at Augusta National. Maybe at a British Open, you know, maybe St. Andrews. If he's playing at St. Andrews and the wind isn't crazy or whatever, his game maybe can translate. U.S. Open, USGA, winged foot, wind, rough, greens that are crazy, not happening. And not happening for Phil either. I would lump Mickelson in here too. Like, Phil is now on the Champions Tour. He's 50 years old. He's 13 over. He's done. Like, he's out. And now he's got to qualify for U.S. Opens in the future, right? Like, I believe he's got to get in next year. He barely got into this one. Like, it's the end of a 20 to 25-year run where it's been Tiger and Phil's tour.
Is there no asks, Brian? Like, does the USGA not say, hey, Phil, do you want to show up? And there's none of that?
I don't believe so. Oh, I thought he just barely got in. Like, in the last month or so, he barely got an invite, either because he won on the Champions Tour or because
he would not be getting an invite because of that Champions Tour on in St. Louis or whatever the hell that was.
Okay, so I don't know what it was then that got him in, but he just barely got in. He was not a lock to be in when they resumed play. So whatever he did down the stretch, whether it was finishing somewhere in the FedEx Cup standings or whatever, somehow he got into the U.S. Open late. But there's no guarantees he's going to be there every year. And
Phil going to those qualifiers?
No, no chance.
No, I don't see
no way he's going to do that. And especially with this tournament, the tournament he probably hates the most. He resents the U.S. Open.
Phil's got to be looking at the senior U.S. Open to say that's my avenue into the big tournament, because I believe the guy that wins the senior U.S. Open gets exempt to the main one the next
year. Yes, I think you're probably right.
So there that's probably his avenue.
Yeah, that might be it for him, and he'll be there playing. I'm sure he'll want to play at it, but he's not going to chop around a, you know, a pro-am and Phoenix to try to make his way to the U.S. Open. He's not going to tin cup
it.
Yeah, like no chance he's going to do that. So the U.S. Open is always going to be tough anyway, and with two guys like that who are, well, you know, they're past their prime and they're not what they were 15 years ago, it makes it even more difficult. And Phil plays every week. Tiger doesn't, but it doesn't look like Phil is missing the cut. He's done. He's trunk slamming. He's already driving to Atlantic City right now to hit the tables. And Tiger, I don't think, is going to get in either.
Tiger, unlike Phil, Brian, I think he – I don't know what his health status is, but physically, he looks like he could get dialed back in. Like, he looks like he's got the flexibility. It doesn't look like the power's lacking. I just don't know how many balls the guy can hit. And God knows, he just doesn't play. He does not play.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, again, I thought he played pretty well yesterday. And it just got away from him. And then
and when
today,
it gets away, it's not like the old Tiger, where it's three birdies in a row and then an eagle and he's back on top of the leaderboard. It's
right.
Just not there.
No, doesn't happen. Time now for our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, to join us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Does it feel like an end of an era kind of to you with Mickelson's done? I don't think he's a lock to qualify for the U.S. Open next year, and Tiger's just slashing it around Wingfoot. He might shoot 80 this afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know what? I played this morning, and so I picked up my phone about halfway through, and I'm like, oh, one over after six, not bad. Everybody was talking about how it was going to get harder, and then I got home, and I was like, yeesh, what happened there? And just watching him, I don't know, it felt like I was watching an older guy. You know, like I'm watching these younger guys play, and then I see Tiger, and I'm like, I don't know, it doesn't, I just heard, oh, there. It's not like he, you know, his ball speed's way down, or he can't do, you know, he can't hit this great shot or that great shot. I'm more surprised when it happens altogether for him, as opposed to before, you just look at it and go, yeah, he's 5 feet, he'll make that.
Well,
now it's like I'm more surprised when it goes in.
Right. Exactly.
Is he a Lamborghini with 500,000 miles on it?
Yeah,
is
and
that
I think,
what
Jamie,
it is?
In that sport, it's not like what us three did playing in the NHL, getting our brains beat in every night. Those guys, I think it just fries your brain. Like the 10-footers for par, There's a lot of stress in that, and that's what I think ultimately happens to golfers. It's not, you know, obviously injuries can take their toll on them, but I think just the mental grind of them, and they lose it and they can't play anymore. Johnny Miller was one of the best golfers in the universe. He would say to his caddy, I want to know if it's 171 or 171 and a half yards to the hole. He had to start putting with his eyes closed. Like,
it's mental. It's all mental, man.
There was video of Johnny Miller at Pebble Beach, I believe. He was putting. He was closing his eyes because he was just... He lost it. He lost the mental edge, and then that's what happens.
And that was the greatness of Tiger. Like, he, every time he played, he was like, I am crushing people, like crushing, and I am going to try to beat my personal best every round.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's got that anymore. He's just kind of like.
There was a 10-year span, and he won every time.
He looks like he's exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the times I watch him, I'm like, he looks just exhausted, and he probably is. But it's not that, like, he looks like he's in really great shape, but he's probably just, as you say, he's just gassed, man. Like, every hole is like a, you know, he's wrestling an alligator. And then he gets to the next one.
Especially at this course. Especially at Wingfoot, Ray. You know, he's...
Did you just see that shot Patrick Reed hit over the green?
No.
The ball? Huh. So he had 200 yards from, like, kind of just off the fairway. His ball went through the green. It dropped into this stuff on the back of the green, like over the green was a little bit elevated, and it dropped into it. He wouldn't find his feet in there. Like, he's going to get to the ball, and just imagine how he's like if you're worn down by your round, like Tiger is. Say his ball's in there, he's just like, damn, I just got to get this out of here. Like, you can't even muster it up anymore. You're just beaten down.
Right. Well, exactly.
And that's why he could win it at Augusta. You don't get beat down at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the place like the back of his hand.
And I think he'd need a crowd, though, too, right? Like, he would need the buzz. I feel
I
like that would be.
I think he's missing that crowd a lot, man.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he missed it yesterday. He had three birdies in a row. That place would have erupted. Like,
yes.
Gone crazy. And he would have been fist pumping. And, like, he birdied on 16, and he did a little knee shake and was like, oh, okay, I guess moving on. That place would have gone crazy. It was like a 40-foot birdie to get him back to even par, you know, and it just, it's not there.
A couple of months ago, I was with Dan Murphy, who was a good buddy of mine, and we played with Nick Taylor, and Nick was just getting set to go, you know, to join the tour, you know, 100th ranked player in the world. And so we were asking him, and, you know, he qualified for the Masters. He beat Mickelson at Pebble Beach last year. And said, what's it like, you know, if you're with Tiger? And he says, well, I haven't played with him. He said, but you can tell where he is on the course at any time. And so it's just what you said. Like, there might be from a mile away, there might be this crazy roar, and everybody knows, yeah, that's Tiger making birdie over there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It must be the coolest thing to see.
Yeah, and you hope we get – maybe last year was the last one. Maybe it was. You know, you hope you get one more. You hope you get one more charge. And it being at the Masters would be so much better. I mean, it just allows for the best theater and the best background and the best setting.
Hey, maybe we'll get it in November. Who knows?
Yeah, wow. That's true. So. That's a good point. We're going to have two – like the next two majors after this are the Masters. Like it's November and April, I believe. I think they're going back into the cycle in April. So the next two will be at the same tournament, same course. We've got our cup final, Dallas-Tampa. How do you feel about this setting up game one tomorrow?
No, wide open, lots of goals.
Hockey.
We were on that text message last night, and it was like, you know, as we're trying to put the highlight together, AO, like that was starting to be a chore.
Yeah, I honestly thought it could have been just my recommendation to James, who runs the operation, was this is a 2-1 game. Let's just do a radio hit basically on TV and talk about the game-winning goal, what's up next, and blah blah blah. Because other than Hedman, other than the game-winning goal, other than some the goaltenders, a missed opportunity on the power play, you know, for Tampa Bay in the second period there, it's a grind and then a grind and a grind and a grind. And I think it's fatigue, man. It's the grind.
Yeah. Man, they're playing every second day. These guys, they must be just totally worn.
They're done. Yeah.
And O sent a text, and it was 1-1. Remember, they scored the two goals really quick. And he said, I got a bad feeling about this game. And that was in the first period. And he was right, because it got worse. It's just like they can't go anywhere. They can't. And so I would have never picked Dallas with a chance to win, but I think they've got a legit chance. I think they're healthier. They're certainly more rested. And I think they've got a legit chance that I would have never given them before.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. My only worry is Hudobin Cinderella. Is the clock going to strike midnight? And you know, he's a very good goaltender. But at some point, like, you know, Vegas doesn't have the high-octane finishers like Tampa does. And if Dallas thinks they're going to rope-a-dope and give up 40 and just be opportunistic, you can't rely on the goaltender every night. That's what worries me, is that Hudobin.
But for Tampa, though, Jamie, like, just think, though. Like, Tampa's got six guys that they haven't scored. They don't
score.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
And so, like, what if they can't get it back? If they don't get something from, you know, Point and Kucherov and Hedman, they're like, who's going to score for Tampa?
Hope Stamkos comes back?
Me too. Like, I was going to say, this is the Stanley Cup Finals. I think I would figure out a way.
What do you think's going on with him?
I think it's like some kind of upper, you know, those stomach joint.
Yeah, the ab. Don't you need, remember, have you guys ever had that ab injury or whatever, like the where guys get the mesh put in?
You think I would ever have that injury? Ask yourself that question.
They ripped out a chunk of chain link fence for O.
when you played, O, you were lean, and you.
I know.
I'm just saying,
I had a little tweak here and there, but I never had.
What is that called?
Sense.
The hernia?
Sports hernia is very central in the body, I believe.
Right, but it's core. Yeah,
it's a core muscle injury, that, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. We don't know. They haven't said anything. They haven't ruled him out completely, but I think Breezeball, the GM, said today he's not going to play in game one.
Right.
I hope for his sake. I mean, he's the longest standing member of the team. He's the captain. You know, he seems like a really good guy that, you know, obviously plays a fun, entertaining style. He's had injury problems his whole career. And it's almost as if they win the cup without him, the injuries are going to become the story of his career, you know, more so than the greatness on the ice and the Rocket Richards and scoring 60 and first overall and all that kind of stuff. Because
it does set up, though, for him coming back in this series and scoring a couple of big ones.
Yep.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. And maybe maybe he's only got a few games in the tank, right, health-wise this year. Like, maybe that's all he's got. Maybe had he been trying to play this, you know, grinder of a playoff, he wouldn't have made it, you know, health-wise.
11 forwards, couldn't you say to him, look, give me some secondary power play time, maybe a couple shifts a period on the fourth line? Who knows? Who knows what he could do or what he would want to do?
Depends on what the injury is, because if he can't get up and down the ice, like you can wheel him out there like Hannibal Lecter and stand him on the one-timer spot, and he could still hammer it in the net. But if he can't skate, like that's – I don't know. He skated yesterday. Did you guys – I thought there was video of him
skating.
So you're right.
He was skating
last
week.
I'd like to see it just so that – you know, to your point, Brian, we don't talk about this guy's hurt all the time, and he missed the biggest moment of the team.
He's
that
missed
he
a lot. Like, he missed an Olympics because he was injured.
Yeah, you know what? His career turned, unfortunately, health-wise, when he hit the goalpost in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Because I don't recall him being nicked a lot by injury beforehand, and it seemed like after that, you know, it was just one serious thing after another for him.
Yeah, and like real, like deeply rooted injuries, not just, hey, missed a game every 10 or 12. Like, see in 3 months, Stammer. And he has become one of the most injury-prone players in the NHL. And it's a shame because he's such a good player. And they could certainly use him, and I think the entertainment value could certainly use him as well. But if you're the 29 other teams in the league, what are you learning from these two teams as you go into an off season and you try to build a cup contender for next season?
Well, you better be able to defend. You better have some strength, you know, some size. And of course you need, you know, like that, you're going to need some skill. But to me, it's like the story is you have to defend. And honestly, I hate even saying that, because I don't want to sound like part of the sheep crowd of, you know, like, oh, defend, you got to win. Defense wins championships. Until somebody proves otherwise, that's what wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, – go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, I was going to climb on top of that and say, I think you also need goaltending, but you also need veteran depth. Like, that's – you know, like, Tampa went and they spent, you know, and went and got Coleman and got Goudreau and then signed Bogosian and got Shen. Like, you know, Shattenkirk came on. Like, to me, these
Maroon.
Are guys that are, you know, Maroon. They're well traveled, but they're slotted properly on a team that already has a really deep core. But what they did is they filled the core out with guys that know their role and know how to play hard in certain situations. And that's the difference that I've seen. And all of these teams that are close should be looking at plugging holes with guys that fit and guys that will be there when the push comes to shove. Because that's it wouldn't surprise me if the game-winning goal for Tampa is going to be a Maroon or a Goudreau or a Coleman or somebody like that. The big boys will get you there, but it's the grunts that are going to help you through it.
Maybe there's another point to that too, and that's when I look at Tampa, I remember doing a game early in the year. They were playing Toronto, and I started doing my, you know, my stuff and my research, whatever. And the organization, the way they have put that organization together, the way they've drafted, the way they've scouted free agents, the way that they've built their core, a lot of it is really all homegrown. And so, you know, you can go add pieces all over the place, but with the cap being the way it is for the next few years, you better be able to find guys in the draft, not just your first round pick, but past that. And, you know, we've been through this, I think, before, but, you know, Johnson and Gord were not drafted. Kucherov's a second rounder, Point's a third, Sorelli's a fourth, Palat's a seventh, Killorn's a fourth. Of course, Hedman and Stamkos were at the very, very top of the draft. Vasilevsky's a first. Sergachev's a first. You know, they traded him for Drouin, who was another first. But, like, they've got guys from all over the place, you know, that are the meat of their team, and they drafted them all. Or they signed them all. Like, their scouts found Gord and found Johnson. Other guys could have signed them. Other guys had Johnson in camp. He was in Phoenix's camp at the time. They're now Arizona. He was in Minnesota's camp. Nobody signed him. Tampa signed him.
Well, yeah, a lot of guys that have been there for a long time too, right? I mean, there's always going to be turnover on the peripheral, and we've referenced who those guys are. But Stamkos, Hedman, Johnson, Gord, you know, these guys have been there for a long time.
Well, some of them were like you said, Ray, they were developed by Tampa, but they came up with Coop, too. Like, Coop won a championship in the minors. Didn't they set a crazy record in the minors for wins?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, dominant. What? And that team, guys, if I might have the number wrong, but I think at times they were playing with nine defensemen. They had no forwards. And they were just like, you know, like, yeah, you're a winger today, right? And they kept winning. But there is an interesting thought there when you said about them being together a long time, is that the balance of being patient or like, okay, I got to cut bait. And so that, I think, is maybe a little bit applicable in Toronto. Like, how patient can you be versus where you've got to change? And in Tampa, they just, man, remember 5 years ago, they were the team of the future. They were going to win a couple of cups and, it's 5 years since 2015, right? And a lot has gone wrong, but they haven't, you know, they haven't grenaded the whole thing yet.
Yeah, you've got to commit to your vision and your core, and you got to realize that you're not going to win every single year. So that doesn't mean that it's just a complete and utter disaster, right? But sometimes it is. You know, that's the thing that can really trip you up. Sometimes you can be overly patient. And then it takes too long, and you realize this was never right. We were never on the right path. You know, Tampa made it easy, I think, for Yzerman, Breezeball, and company to realize they were on the right path because they made a cup final in 15, right? Like, the Leafs have never gotten out of the first round. It's more difficult to have full faith when you haven't seen any of it really blossom.
Right.
You know, individually you have, but the core has not gotten to that next step. Where you're like, okay, I can fully commit. You know, so we'll see. But I do think that that's an important lesson to take from this as well.
Yeah, and Brian, were you going to the tape with Ray? I thought Ray was going to be involved in this.
I guess Ray could be a jury member here too. Yeah, I guess.
What do we got?
Well, go
ahead,
Hayes.
Here.
Yeah.
No. You're the one that's – well, I guess I'm bringing it to the courts because you were so certain that this was locked in. But – this fellow gentleman in the courtroom here that goes
you
by
can't handle
the O-Dog.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, just give me some time and I'll turn on you, just like that's what happened in A Few Good Men. O just throws out, I'll put a hunch on it, and that in his mind means it's a bet, like it's done. Like I said earlier, he could just say, the sun's coming up tomorrow, hunch. I have to agree to it, exactly. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Like, we had a bet earlier in the week.
God.
He said, I'll bet you 2-1 odds the Clippers beat Denver. I hummed and hawed and thought about it, and then I finally said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll take it.
Yeah, 494 on the TV, TSN, you know what's on that? The U.S. Open. 493 is the no balls open, and you're 30 under.
Let's go to the tape, all right? Because you ruined yourself here on this. If you locked it in, if you were committed and you wanted this to be a done bet, you would not have gone baby monkey and started chasing a moth around the light and move this in a different direction, all right? Listen to the tape from yesterday.
I would bet any money that he plays.
Ooh.
Do I have?
My ears are burning.
I was just going to say that Sir Brian Hayes is...
I'll bet you $100 he plays.
Take it or leave it.
You take that action. You've got two brown ones burning a hole in your pocket
there. Oh, he gave 50 back because he's a chop.
Yeah, I went Tiger down the stretch yesterday. See, we never committed to anything. We just started talking about golf.
You cut it early.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
Now, you guys know how much I do not want to ever side with Hayes.
Thank you. Thank you. Go
it
ahead.
It bothers me to select Hayes' version of the story here.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get
Marshall Clark on the case because he cut the tape. Don't you think, even if he wanted to take it, he was like, what do you know, he wanted to take it.
Yep. You're right.
I know you did.
You're right.
Like I said, Ray, if you're watching the golf, go
no,
one
see, you can
lower.
Keep saying that, dude, but that doesn't mean anything.
It's a tournament called
the No
stand
Balls
for anything.
Open. You can yell objection, but guess what? Your client's going to jail for the rest of their lives. Just because you yell objection doesn't mean anything. Your case is brutal. Noodles, go ahead. Speak for yourself, because you were certain I locked it in, too. You were
honestly accusatory earlier. I was, and here's the thing, though. I think we're looking at one piece of the tape. I think there's another conversation about this.
Please tell me you have it.
10 minutes later, there's like a full conversation going, I think that was the beginning of the conversation, but I think
Hayes
there was
like
one
OG
where,
right now, trying
where
to
we locked
the
it
glove
in.
On.
Yeah, there's
just,
the glove.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's another conversation. I'll be honest.
Remember.
I don't know. But
I misremember.
I'm not doctoring anything, Ray.
You misremember.
You're Rafael Palmeiro right now.
Yeah,
you
I misremember.
You misremembered.
No comment. Listen, talk to Mullen. Mullen runs the audio around here. The grappler, he's – I don't know what the grappler's doing, but all right, we'll dig deeper into the tape. But as it currently stands, the evidence you just saw and just
Mulls,
heard.
You're
what's
back
the
there.
Answer?
Help me, Mulls.
What's the answer? Ray just gave it to you. Noodles, do you agree with my case or what?
Oh, I –
Based on that,
I agree there's no deal in place, but I believe there is further evidence to be submitted.
Find it.
I can easily change my opinion if there's more audio.
Oh, if it's a coin flip, I'm going to jail. I know how you're going to work. You're the last jury member on earth I would pick. Imagine that. My life's on the line. I'm like, don't let Ray be on the jury. That's my buddy, but I know what he's going to do.
No,
he's going to send me away.
He would flat out say, Sidney Crosby's better than Phil Kessel. You're going to the chair.
Right.
That's it.
The chair, big boy.
Exactly. Just start yelling and screaming at each other. Yeah. You both get kicked out of the courtroom. Yeah. Well, we'll see. If we can find more, we'll replay it on Monday and later this afternoon for sure. But when you're back on Monday, we'll let you know. And it looks like it's going to be a Tiger-less weekend, a Mickelson-less weekend, but a fun weekend nonetheless. And the Cup final
now
starts
we'll be
tomorrow,
plugged
too.
In don't forget to send out the 100 that you owe for the bet that you lost, eh? Don't forget.
I know. I already paid up. I'm all paid.
No, you didn't.
I haven't.
Ray and Noodles. Ray and Noodles, you owe a hunch from way back. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh, my goodness.
Jerry player.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Ray, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, boys. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It is Maple Toyota's birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. Red tag savings continue with rates from 0%. So if you can find more audio, please do present it.
I think that's not the conversation I remember. I'll be honest. I think there's another one. Also, I doubled that $100 bet. I just doubled down. Owen and I have another bet somewhere. I can't remember what it is.
The Pats and the Bucks.
Yeah, that's right. I took that 100 and said, I believe that the Pats are going to win more games straight up than the Bucks winning games.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. We're keeping track. The Grappler's on top of a lot of things.
Good. Good.
We got more picks this weekend. We got a 1 o'clock game, a 4 o'clock game, the Sunday nighter.
Al's brother breakthrough coming up.
Yes, Stone Cold Al's brother at some point between now and 7 o'clock. We got Graham Dillette at 6:05 on the U.S. Open. That's going to be awesome. And Steve Phillips as well on the massacre in New York. Man, 43 runs the Blue Jays gave up in three games. Just an astonishingly awful performance. And a rude awakening, you know, not that we didn't know it, but now we saw it. The Yankees are miles ahead. So that and more coming up in about an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Graham Dillette will join us in about a half an hour. Day two at the U.S. Open, and Winged Foot is making some noise and making a statement because yesterday there were a lot of guys going low. You know, a bunch of guys under par, and now there are 6 players currently under par for the whole tournament.
What's JT at? He was 5 under yesterday.
He is 1 under now on the tournament. He's 4 over today.
Wow. So the course is a lot harder today.
That's are they done?
No, they're not. No, they're still out there. They're through 13, so Thomas is still out there, and I'm getting nervous in terms of our picks because Woods is done. Like, Tiger's at 10 over. He's done.
Yeah.
And Morikawa is right on the cut line. He is 6 over, and I believe.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say he's on fire.
No, he's just holding on. I think the cut line is going to be around 6 under. It's either 5 or 6 under, depending on, you know, how Patrick Reed comes home and some of the other field members, you know, perform down the stretch. But if Tiger's out, I basically have to pick a winner. And it's going to be tough. So we'll see what happens there. And we'll catch up with Graham in about a half an hour. And about 45 minutes, we'll catch up with Steve Phillips and get his take on what that was at Yankee Stadium over the past three games and how the Jays recover moving forward. They're still going to make the playoffs, which is fine. Yeah. You know, there's no complaining about that. I mean, no one thought they were winning a World Series. But every once in a while, you get smacked around and you're like, man, that's who we really are.
Middle of
the pack team.
Interest level. I was pretty jacked up there when they were in the thick of it, and it was like the Cleveland Indians theme song from Major League, and you're like, okay, these guys are pretty good. They won a series against the Yanks, and then I believe they won a series against the Mets in Buffalo, and you're like, I like tuning that game on right after work. And now it's like my interest level to turn it on is kind of gone down a bit. Like, it's just like, guys, what are we doing here?
Bryce Harper just knocked one out of the building.
That's great. Yeah, they got a doubleheader with Philly. They're trying to survive.
and he just jacked one. But it is what it is. You know what? I'm with you, O. Like, I was excited to watch the games, and I know the last couple have just been an absolute atrocity, but they're a likable team.
Yep.
They're a team that grinds, and yeah, their pitching is struggling, you know, as much as like we like Ruark, we need him to not get lit up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunate, but one team can't just make you change the way you look at this team. Like, the Yankees, to me, they've underachieved. So, you know, now that they're healthy, they should have been long gone. They should have been nowhere near the Jays as far as standings.
Yep.
You know, that basically they ran into a team that was 100% healthy, and they hadn't been healthy in how long.
And they were due for a heater. They were due to just come alive, and the Jays were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But, you know, the arms have always been a concern, and some of the fundamentals a bit of a concern. Like, they run into way too many outs, and it happened again last night. And those are things that you can fix the fundamentals, and you hope those get better. I'm not holding my breath they will the rest of the way. The playoffs begin in less than 2 weeks. But by next year, they've got to improve. Defensively, you got to get a little better. And you got to add arms. You know, you have to. And you got to get more out of a guy like Vladdy. We talked about that earlier. Like, Vladdy is just simply not bringing anything. Like, nothing to the table. And that is concerning. Like, this is a year two for him. He was the most highly touted prospect probably in the history of the franchise. It's only 2 years. Collectively, it's like a full season. It doesn't even count as 162.
Right.
But it's not good. Like, it's just not in a good position where Vladdy's game is right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Steve has to say.
Can I interrupt?
I was just going to say, you know what's not good? We might have some game tape, some breaking news here.
This is nerve-wracking for me.
And the only thing, as lawyer Jeff here, I'm going to want you to listen closely to your reference to point playing or not, and how you describe it. Play the tape for the courtroom.
We had a little wager going earlier that
surprised you. I'm not at all surprised.
As to whether or not Braden Point is actually going to play tonight.
Cut the tape.
He will.
Cut the tape. So for you to use that language, what would that be referring to?
Well, circumstantial evidence.
That's a
that's
crock.
What they call
Don't
that.
Even start with that.
They
circumstantial
call that
evidence.
Circumstantial evidence.
Be quiet.
What I mean
play
by
it again. The beginning. Beginning.
It's just
part.
A phrase, dude. It's a phrase.
Please
it's like, hey, we had some banter.
This,
we had a little
listen
wager.
Listen to this again. Play
Never
it.
Locked in. We had a little wager going earlier. Little
I'm
back
sorry.
And forth. Little lob ball. You can call it whatever you want.
Well, the language is very. I mean. to me, that's damning. Like, the language is damning. A wager
is a bet.
It's
a wager. So if you don't pay it, you're gutless, and we're not doing it again. So you figure out what you want to do.
Let's continue with
the show.
But I think there was more to the tape. I think there may have been more. Like, we cut it off. To me, you said wager. Like, is there more? Does he dig himself a digger hole?
Here's what I would ask both of you, too. All right, yeah. Who we have very unique jobs, okay? We love our jobs. We are very lucky to have them. But they are tough. You know, I know a lot of people don't think it is tough, but it is very difficult to talk for 15 hours a week of just open-air live radio that you have to fill.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe I am the first one of this panel to ever misuse a word, to ever reference something improperly.
You're Paul Merrill right now. You're Paul Merrill.
Once again, Mr. Commerce, I think he misremembers the conversation that we had.
Yeah,
well, that's
Roger Clemens, by the way. You're Clemens. You're Clemens.
You never use the wrong word. You never stumble across a word you're
all
trying
the
to
time.
Find. We always
I do. All the time.
It happens.
Me.
I mean, to bring in Ray and just say, we had a little wager going earlier.
You right. honestly sound like the guy in Judge Judy right now that took the rent money and he went to the peeler joint and then he just says, you know what?
I never saw the money on the coffee.
For karma purposes, fine.
Put it down. But I'm telling you right now, I never thought we locked that in. And this isn't some me being a clown. You know, we've been doing this forever. I don't gouge. I don't renege. You know, that's not how I roll. I genuinely did not believe we ever locked it in. I was joking when I said my ears are burning because I've been taking money off you, Beansy, for quite some time.
Okay,
but I never thought we actually locked it in. But that's
fine.
If you want to play that role and we're going to play that game, let's do it. And what I'm going to do all weekend is I'm going to go back and review the tape because I let you off the hook for a lot of money. And I said, don't worry about it. We'll leave it. No, it's okay. And we never calculated
anything. No, I've paid every cent.
No, you haven't. I'll go back and find all of it. And we'll make sure if we're going to play that game and we're playing the everything counts game, then that's fine by me. That works for me.
Just being in the middle. Now, you asked me just to interpret. Mm-hmm. The first audio, there was no bet locked in whatsoever because there was no commitment. The second audio, you're just alluding to, hey, we have a bet. So that's all I'm saying. To me,
now
if you
go to
a jury,
he's Horatio Cain now, and now he's going to dig through.
It's already been established. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. That's fine. It's lock it in.
I almost feel like there's a third conversation too. Like
there might have,
but we don't have all day to review every tape.
We
talked about it all day, but I just feel like if this went to a court of law, the jury would find that you had a verbal agreement. That's my interpretation.
Really? Okay.
But again, I'm not saying
unprovoked when we're not even still talking about the topic, just using the word wager. So if you use the word wager at any point, that means everything was locked in.
No,
okay,
context is everything.
Your
context
exact language was, we had a wager. What do you think that means? That doesn't mean we went snowmobiling.
That means
that does
it's
not
live
mean
radio,
we were golfing.
Dude, and I talk a lot more than both of you, and sometimes I say the wrong thing, or sometimes I say something just to get the
All
ball
right,
rolling
Roger
on a conversation.
Clemens.
That's
All
true.
All right, Roger Clemens.
And it
that's
happens.
Fine.
It
I
happens.
Agree.
But that's fine. Whatever. We'll put it there. We'll leave it there. Put it in the bank. I'm still plus money. It's all good. It was the greasiest backdoor in the history of football last night. What I still don't understand, and I wanted an explanation after the game, and it almost felt to me like Cincinnati was fine with not winning, was that last drive that they had that they ended up scoring on. They scored with like 14 seconds to go. It was a clock-depleting drive where they never really took a shot at the end zone, and they had to score two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't even make sense. Like, I know Cleveland was playing prevent defense, but at some point it's like, what is the point of dinking and doinking down the field and scoring with 12 seconds to go when you have to score two touchdowns?
Yeah, why wouldn't they throw bombs? Why wouldn't they throw a Hail Mary? Like, to me, you're trying to win to score two touches. I think they were like, let's get one and see if this onside kick will work, and that's it. Like, to me, that was awful.
Yeah, but it was. It did make sense. Like at some point, like, even if you throw a pick, you've got to go for it with, like, a minute left. You have to. Because even if you get the onside kick, you still needed another touchdown. They were down by 12.
Right.
Like, it'd be one thing if you were down by 10, you score a touchdown, you're like, onside kick, we got to get another like 20 yards, and boom, we're in for a field goal to tie it. That is a strategy I can understand. It felt to me almost like Cincinnati was like, we're done, game's over, let's treat it like a two-minute drill as if the game is tied, and let's see if Joe Burrow can go out and win us the game, hypothetically speaking. But, you know, we had Peter King join us in the last hour, and we maybe didn't make as big of a deal of this as we should have, but Peter basically said that Burrow is better than Baker right now. Like, Burrow is better than Baker right now. And
more
I think
likeable.
That's – well, he's definitely more likable. I can't dispute that.
I don't want to question your comment or question, but he basically – he didn't refer to Burrow being better than Baker Mayfield. He just said he's very good right now. He didn't say anything as a reference comparing the two quarterbacks. He said he's very good right now, not just a young quarterback with promise. He said Cincinnati's going to upset some teams, and Burrow was very good right now.
Okay. Well, we can review the tape again. I thought he said...
Dude, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just
telling you. No, I know that. But I thought, like, I asked him the first question, what was the more compelling storyline, Burrow or Baker? I thought he ended that by saying, you know, Burrow is better than Baker. We can review that because I don't want to put words in his mouth. So, Mullen, go find that. His last... comment,
and by the way, if he
answer.
Did say that, I don't disagree with
that. Well, I don't think he's alone. Well, but I think it's significant, and I think what it is it's a little bit dangerous because maybe we should learn something from a guy like Baker Mayfield. Remember when he took over for Tyrod Taylor and he looked really good through two games?
Right.
Like Burrow has played two games.
Right.
I think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think, but I can't guarantee that right now.
I know. What you have though is hope in Cincinnati because you're like, okay, I really think we have a guy. If you go to a situation like the Giants have right now, I think their quarterback, Jones, is an NFL player, but I don't really see
not top
the
tier.
Light. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel where he's going to take them to the promised land one day. And he's still young. It's year two for him, but I don't really see that in him. I do with Burrow.
But Brian, you even said it at the end of the conversation, is – we shouldn't be surprised. He's a top pick. He's
he
a
went
first overall.
Pick.
Like it's not.
He better be the stud that
right.
They hope
we shouldn't
he is.
Be surprised that he looked great and projects to be a stud. Like he was the number one pick in the draft. Like that's what you expect somebody to be that good, that impactful, and look that good and look that promising. So I took it the same way. I mean, I think you came off of Peter's comments just being like, yeah, you know, you should be that good. Like, he's
absolutely.
Number one pick.
Well, let's play this clip. I'm reluctant to do this because the tape is not, you know.
All right, and I wasn't going there, by the way. I wasn't
I understand
that.
I want to clarify what I thought I heard. If I misremembered or got it wrong, then to be fair to Peter King, let's just make sure we hear it, and we'll see what came out of it.
And right now, the Cleveland Browns have a much better roster, 1-53, than the Cincinnati Bengals. But in my opinion, the quarterback in Cincinnati is better.
Wow. Sorry, buddy. I apologize. I said that.
You were right. Brian was right.
You know the comment I was referring to.
Yeah, at the end, absolutely. He went on to say what you were referring to.
But had my head directly up my ass for that particular section of the
interview. And to be fair, even I probably should have followed up on that because that is a pretty big statement. I mean, it's not crazy because it's not like Baker Mayfield is Tom Brady and it's two games. But still, that's Peter King who's saying if I'm starting a game tonight that I have to win, I'm taking a guy who's played two games over a guy who's in his third year and they both went first overall. That's a pretty substantial clip. Graham Dillette in about 15. Steve Phillips at 6:25. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Graham Dillette in about 10 minutes. Steve Phillips coming up as well. The Jays trying to recover, but it's not going so well. Really not going so well. They got a doubleheader against the Phillies, and they're getting smoked, and it was an ugly three games down in New York. And
what's the score? Come on.
They're down 6-0 right now.
Oh, my God.
I think it's the sixth inning or fifth or sixth inning.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I'm still convinced that they're making the playoffs just based on the teams behind them.
How many days are you going to keep saying that, though?
Well,
I'm
doing the math now. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Like the thing is, dude, it's Detroit, it's Seattle. Like, Seattle's 22-28. Detroit's terrible. Like, the Jays are still three games over 500. You know, like, it's less than 2 weeks away. You've got 10 games to basically, like, Detroit's got to go 10-0, and the Jays have
to
go 0-10.
I've heard this. and I just keep getting more concerned about it day by day.
I know.
They're going to make the playoffs. I'm not worried. I know. And I'm trying to buy into it, too, but I'm like, God, if they keep getting dummied like this, how long can you keep saying that and buying into it?
If it was 162, I would say I have no faith in them making the playoffs.
No, it wasn't. It wouldn't even be a realistic topic.
Right. But it's COVID. It's 2020. Yeah. Expanded playoffs. They had a really good run there for a while. They've won a bunch of one-run games, and they put themselves in a position with a buffer, and they deserve that buffer because those games were legit, and they played them and they won them. So let's see how they recover. You know, it sounds like it might be a difficult weekend, too, in Philly. You never know. And we'll see what Steve Phillips can tell us about it in 625. Get his take on the past three games and the rude awakening up against the Yankees. 43 runs given up in three games is just –
it's not good.
Man, it's just a crazy number. Like, it's the second most all-time in a three-run in a three-game series against any team in their history, and that's 40 years of history, 40 years plus. So that's coming up. Graham Dillette's coming up, and we'll tee up the Cup Final. Game one tomorrow night. Western Final in the NBA kicks off tonight as well. We'll get to that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.